Well, message with you that I hope will take you forward into all that God has for you ahead. It's a message not just for the individual, but for you all together. And so let's pray and then we'll start. Father, we pray that as we speak this morning, that you will touch our hearts. Lord, touch the individual, but touch the corporate body. Impart into individuals, but impart into couples, impart into families, impart, Lord, into the church here. So God, we thank you for your anointing to deliver this message, and we thank you for your Holy Spirit to seal it at the end. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, turn in your Bible to Psalm 133. And we've got PowerPoints this morning, and the message this morning is called The Power of Team. The Power of Team. The Power of Togetherness. And we're going to look at what the Word of God has to say about that. Psalm 133 is one of the Psalms of Ascent. It's one of 15 Psalms between Psalm 20, 120 and 134. It was sung by the Hebrew pilgrims on their way to Jerusalem and possibly as they were ascending Mount Zion or when they were going up the steps of the temple to worship. So these psalms were songs of ascent. They were songs that were preparing the people to meet with God. Interesting. Songs that were going to lead them into worshiping and connecting with God. So this Psalm 133 has that background. Let's read together. How good and pleasant it is when brothers live together in unity. It's like the precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down upon the collar of his robes. It is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion. For there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore. What an interesting psalm. It presents a picture. It shows us the power of working together. It shows us the power of being united. Not only as a church, but unity always brings the command of God's blessing upon the Christian man and woman and the families. It's possible to dwell together and yet not be together. You can dwell together in a church such as this, but you can still be an island to yourself. You can still be isolated. You can still come and go and really not be connected. You can dwell together, but not necessarily be together. And the command of God's blessing comes upon those who are together. Not just dwelling together, but are together in heart. The Bible talks about, in one of the scriptures, God, unite my heart to fear your name. You see, people's hearts can be quite divided. You can be focusing on God, but focusing on this and focusing on that and focusing on this direction and that direction. Unite my heart. Many people have divided hearts. And you do not experience the full blessing of God because of the division of your heart. Your heart totally committed to God and God's ways and God's purposes and God's plans is what God is looking for. If you want to bring the blessing of God into your life, you've got to make sure that your heart is not divided. David said, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit in me. So the heart of a person is absolutely vital. This church has a heart. This church has a culture. Every church has a culture. Some are friendly, some are unfriendly. Some are welcoming, some are less than welcoming. Some churches you can go to, walk in the door, and you walk out the door and nobody says hello. God is looking for a healthy heart in this church and in every church. He's looking for unity in heart. And so today, as we share this message, I really pray that as you move forward, that you are in unity. You are together. Not just dwelling together, but you are together. Have you ever had someone say, "Get it together, boy"? Has your mother ever said to you, "Reuben, get it together, son"? Mr. Graham, sir, have you ever had someone say to you, "Get it together, boy"? Who by? He's looking at her. Get it together. John said in John 17, verse 21, and scriptures there, I think, "I pray that they'll be one," this is Jesus speaking, "just as you and I are one, as you are in me, Father, I am in you." He's presenting a picture. "And may they be in us so that the world will believe you sent me." Now, this is an amazing picture of unity. That they'll be one just as you and I are one. So Jesus was saying, "Father, you and I are one, but let's pray that they become one with us." So he's drawing a picture here of the unity there needs to be between the Christian person or the church and the church, this church, and the Father and Jesus Christ, that they might be one. See, unity is very important to God. God created this world in a state of unity. God and man is slowly eroding that creation of God and destroying it with pollution and every other thing, and this world is sort of deteriorating from the state that God created. God created it as a united, as a healthy, and a wonderful place. David goes on to describe in verse 2 of Psalm 133, "It is like the precious oil on the head running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the edge of his garments." He's describing a picture of what unity is like. It's like precious oil upon the beard. I was going to do an illustration this morning with a man that had a beard, but I looked this morning as I was coming into church and I couldn't find a man with a beard. Is there a man with a beard here? Spence, have we got a bottle of anointing oil? I would like to do a demonstration this morning of what the scripture is about. Pour it on his head and run it down his beard. The psalm is describing a picture of what unity is like. It runs on the head and down the beard of Aaron, running down on the edge of his clothes. I came close to anointing myself one time with oil. I was on an altar call praying for people in the Martin Church. I was praying along, and I had a bottle of oil in this hand, and I was praying and anointing, and somehow or other the bottle was upside down, and it ran down my tie, and it was dripping off onto my clothes. The anointing picture described here is a picture of unity. It's an unusual picture. He's saying there's something beautiful and attractive about unity. He's saying that it's something that's quite profound. He carries on in verse 3 and he says, unity is like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commands the blessing, life forevermore. The Lord commands blessing. He commands blessing when there's unity. He doesn't command blessing when people just dwell together. But if they're absolutely in heart and unity together, husband and wife in unity bring the blessing, the command of God's blessing upon them. Families in unity bring the blessing, the command of God upon them. As you unite your heart with God, Olivia, as you have united your heart with God, you are experiencing the blessings of God. Amen. You didn't before you knew Christ, but you have the opportunity to change the whole generations of your family. Your family can have a future because of you. From this point on, your kids, when you are married one day, your kids will grow up to love Jesus. The whole generation will change because this girl gave her life to Christ, united her heart, and experienced the command of God's blessing upon her. And those who are born again experience the command of the blessing of God because of their unity with the Father. Praise God. This is a powerful thing we're talking about this morning. If you want healing and anointing and a breakout of the Spirit of God in church, unity is where it begins. Unity. As you get into prayer and get a whole lot of people agreeing on one thing and agreeing together for God, you know, where two or three are, there he is in the midst. Unity. Why is God there? Because two or three are there. They're together in focusing on God. This whole thing of being united is powerful. We live in a society where there's lots of individuals doing their own thing. Lots of independent people running around doing their own thing. It's important that people dwell together in unity in a body, the body of Christ, the family of God. So God brings unity upon us. No wonder the enemy wants to destroy and divide marriages and families and people and homes. He moves in the opposite spirit to God. He destroys. He wants us to be offended with one another and get hurt. He wants people to leave because they're upset with Pastor Phil because he said something you didn't like. See, the enemy tries to divide by upset and by difficult times. When we first arrived in church here, things were not very healthy. The church had been through a very difficult patch. And people, the enemy had been able to bring sort of division and into the church. And it took a little time to bring healing and health to the body and to the family. But when we saw the healing and the presence of God begin to fall upon us and come upon us, we knew that we were on the right track. People were becoming united again. Praise God. Commanded blessing. Wow, I want the commanded blessing of God over my life, over my family, over my children and my grandchildren, over this church. Praise God. I'm going to follow this church with great interest, with really, really interested. I reckon this church has the potential to have a huge men's ministry, reaching men in this community. I can see it. Many men gathered together, having breakfast together, having fun together, enjoying one another's company. I can see it. I can see God doing amazing things amongst women as they unite. And you see, women want friends. They just enjoy going out. Every Sunday morning, I say to Ruth, "Ruth, you're looking so beautiful, I could take you out on a date." She said, "Where are we going?" "Church." I learned many years ago in ministry, over 40 years ago now, I learned very early a principle for church unity. And that is, always go for unity above your own opinion. You might have an opinion about something. Well, it might be right, it might be wrong. But don't let your opinion divide you from people. Don't let your opinion cut you off from people. Don't you let your opinion divide the body of Christ. Praise God. I suppose church is meant to be about us and not so much about I. What can I get out of this? I'll come if the preacher really is good today. What, you see, church doesn't exist for you. You exist for the body. You exist for God. You exist to be part of a family. Praise God for that. I suppose there's a big shift required in many people from I being more important to us being important. When I've led churches over the years, I've always tried to keep the church heading in the same direction and making sure they're together. It's possible to lead a church when you're fired up. It's possible to lead a church and just take a small percentage of the church with you and the rest of the church is running, trying to keep up. It's important to keep the flock together and move together. And when you're united, you can get great momentum together. But when you're individuals, you might be able to go further as an individual, but I tell you what, it's better to go together. Praise God. When businesses have this common cause of us and team, they do better than when it's individuals. When marriage is more about us than me, then the marriage goes further and it's better. Praise God. In Numbers chapter 11, verse 17, God was saying to Moses, this is my version of what God was saying, Moses, this is not a one-man show. And he said in verse 17, he said, I'll come down and talk to you there, and I'll take some of the spirit that's on you, and I will put that spirit upon them also. And they will bear the burden of the people among you, and you will not have to carry it alone. Moses was getting a lesson from God that the load for the ministry, for being a church, the load is with everybody. It's not with one person. So in the church such as this, consider yourself part of the team. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? A team of 5 million. That you are a team, in effect, and you go together, but you carry it. We all have different responsibilities and different levels of maybe leadership authority, but we're a team. And I would encourage you in the days ahead, carry your share of the load. Carry your share of the load. Church is not supposed to be somewhere that you come to, sit there, receive on Sunday and go home. Church is an operating, participating organization or cell, and that it goes further and further and further when we are together. In the city, I've really worked hard to try and have a kingdom focus whereby churches, we do things together and we flow together and we function together and we do things like the Easter services and we do Christmas in the park or we all these various things. I've really worked hard to try and see that happen. And sadly, with COVID, that's taken a bit of a hit and things haven't happened for a couple of years. And it's been quite sad, but I have been very much encouraging the pastors to continue to work together, to exist for more than themselves, to have a kingdom mentality, to work together, to be united in God together. When we did the street cleaning exercises some years back with Paul Johnson and the church, I mean, the awareness of the church in the city was way up here. the city council were just absolutely flabbergasted that, you know, that 100 or more people would turn up at a street cleaning thing, and it was people from various churches around the town, not just Rotary and Lions and some of the social, some of those sorts of groups, but the church was behind. They, I tell you what, the credibility of the church when it operates in unity is a key to the witness and the testimony of Christ. Matthew 6 verse 9 says, pray like this, and this is where you're at, Phil, with the present series. Pray like this: Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And on it goes. The Passion Translation says it like this, and this is another translation. It says, Our Father who dwells in the heavenly realms, may the glory of your name be the center on which our lives turn. That's interesting, isn't it? May the glory of your name be the center on which our lives turn. So we are to bring glory to God and focus on him. Notice it says our Father, not my Father or your Father, but can you see the heart of God when it comes to unity? Our Father. Wow. So my dad is your dad, Phil. So that makes you what? A brother. And yet you were just a young fellow when I first met you. Didn't know Jesus. You weren't a brother at that stage. And you became a brother, and now you have surpassed me. Praise God. And I have other things to do. Our Father, our Father, our Father. The Bible says in James 5:16, pray this way. Pray for one another, that you might be healed. Pray for one another that you... Hey, if you're sick, go and pray for sick people. It's a principle of unity. If you're sick, look out for people to pray for. If you're lonely, go out and be a friend to somebody. Don't sit there and wait for people to come to you. There's a principle here of being of looking out beyond yourself and getting with people and serving and sharing and growing. Pray for one another that you might be healed. That's interesting. Ever thought of that before? When you're sick, go and pray for someone that's sick. What's happening here? God is getting your eyes off yourself onto others, and automatically the command of God's blessing comes on you. Interesting, eh? Amazing. Peter and John went up to the temple together at the hour of prayer, and they performed a miracle. And people were healed. Why? Because they went up together. Interesting. Two or three agree on anything, it shall be done. Principle of unity. Can you see how powerful this thing is we're talking about today? If you can grasp this, it'll take you forward into the future in an amazing way. It'll make it easier for Pastor Phil and Lisa to look after you and pastor you. Praise God. I had a person years ago in the Martin Church. And this person was so draining, would not give out of anything to anybody, would not turn up to serve, just wanted to be ministered to, was always needy, always difficult. And one day, I heard this person out in the front office, and I thought to myself, oh no, I'm supposed to be a pastor. Oh no. Do you know what I did? I hopped out the window, went around the back of the church, got in my car, and went home. What a terrible pastor. Did you remember that, Phil? Yes, he does. Dear me. I wonder what Jesus thought about that. I wonder what he would have done. He'd have probably come out the window with me. Hey, if you tend to be quite draining, you know, you're always fairly needy, go out and do something for others. Go out and show some love. Go out and forget about yourself and go and do something. You'll be surprised how the command of God's blessing will start to come on you. Praise God. Just want to stop for a moment. Where's Joan? Here she is. Saw you when you came in today. Joan's mum is slipping in her health and not well. And we just pray, Joan, that God will heal her. Or if it's not, if it's a time to go, then she'll go peacefully and graciously. But God,